I like it. Well, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I've never been one to not call attention to elephants in rooms. So, the elephant in the room today is obviously that this is my last sermon here as your associate pastor. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching in Eastwood, as Jesse already said. So if anyone's looking for a new congregation, sorry, Jesse, I couldn't resist. most of you are aware I have accepted the call to be their pastor, and next Sunday that's where I'll be. But I've been doing a lot of reflecting on my time here at Zion. And we've been here for almost 2.5 years. And there's many things that come to mind when I think about all the time I've spent here with you individually and gathered here and in worship with you. But I think the word that comes to mind, and Jesse's already touched on this, is the word growth. And actually today I want to read a sermon text that, it's actually the sermon text for this Sunday, the gospel lesson, but it fits so well with that theme of growth. So I want to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. We'll read this in the name of our Lord, and would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. You can be seated. These are your words, gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. So yeah, as I was saying before, there's been a lot of growth, I think, that's happened for us in the last 2.5 years. For me personally, I feel like I've grown a lot, and many of you have told me that. You've seen growth in me. The Lord has worked this through this congregation, through all of you. And that's something we celebrate. That's something we thank God for. I've had the privilege of working alongside Pastor Jesse and seeing firsthand what it means to pour yourself into ministry. As a man who gives it his all, who puts his heart and soul into his ministry. And just working with him, I've taken on some of that. You know, you watch somebody and you're inspired by how they do things and how the Lord works in them. And even that has I've grown even with him in that. But also, our family has grown. And Jesse touched on that a little bit in the prayer, how, you know, we came from a congregation who didn't have a lot of, or they did have a lot of families, and coming here, there's not like as many young families. And we didn't quite know how to act when we first came to this congregation, and I'm not sure this congregation knew how to act either. And so we grew through this period with you guys. We've grown in this with you, and you've grown with us. And hopefully you can see the connection between what I'm talking about here and what we're going to get into in this text, how there's growth that's happening. I've also been part of the growth of this congregation and watched you guys grow individually in your lives. There's many things that you've gone through that I've had the privilege of going through with you, and you've grown. And I thank God for this. You know, this is a moment, it's like, okay, this is my last sermon here, and we could, and I could tend to focus on the negatives and the sadness of this occasion and stuff like that, but I think it's better to focus on the positives and to take those things with you, because it puts us into a state of mind that's thankful. Thankful to the Lord for what he's done and for this growth that we've all seen happen in each other. And so that's what I want to focus on today. So, like I said, this is related to our sermon text, because we see that even Jesus had to grow. The sermon text we read is very unique, because this is the only account of this in the Gospel of Luke here. He's the only gospel writer who records this part of Jesus' life. And our sermon text begins by Luke telling us that his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Shows us that they're very faithful. These are faithful Jewish people. They go to the Passover every year. This last semester in seminary, I was surprised as we were going through the history books of the Old Testament. Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles covers a big part of the Israelite history. I was surprised to learn that the Israelites only celebrated the Passover three times in the Old Testament. There was only three occasions where they celebrated it. A lot of times we think back and we're like, well, they must have done this every year. But they didn't. This was actually very uncommon that they were obedient. I know, big surprise, because we're always obedient, right? But no, they celebrated it only three times. So when you have Luke telling us that his parents went to Jerusalem every year for the Feast of the Passover, you know, this is going against what the Israelites normally did. And so it tells us they're very faithful Jews. And they went up when he was 12 years old, he says, according to custom. So they did this every year. Again, telling us they're very faithful. In Galatians, Paul tells us that, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. So Jesus came underneath the law. He was obedient to the law in every respect. His parents were. He did all the things he was supposed to do. And so even this, by the way, is for us. He did these things for us, because where we fail, where we don't obey, Jesus does. Jesus is perfectly obedient. He does all the things that we should do. And so, yeah, the other Gospels, they go into basically straight into Jesus' adult life as fast as they can. Mark basically starts out in it. John does. Matthew gives us a little account of the birth of Jesus, and then he gets into the adult life of Jesus. But Luke, he gives us the birth of Jesus, but then he has this little section here on Jesus' adolescence. Jesus is 12 years old when this happens. This is very significant, because adolescence, which is the years like between 10 and 19 years old, are some of the most difficult years of a person's life. There's a lot of change that's going on in your life at this point. A lot of growth is happening. And growth can be painful at times, even physically. You ever have growing pains? I remember when I was in my adolescence, my legs hurting from growing pains. Has anyone else had that? You have growing pains? You know, and it's not just growing pains, but it's also other things in life, like even developmentally, like with your mind is developing, everything, you're learning things about yourself, you have anxiety, there can be all kinds of challenging things that come in your life at this time. And I want to speak here directly to you kids who are in this period. If you're between the ages of 10 and 19, or somewhere close to that, listen to this. Listen. Jesus knows what it's like to be where you are. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever struggles you have in your life, Jesus knows. Jesus was your age one time. He knew exactly what it was like. He knows where you are, and it's okay for you to be where you are. You're okay. Jesus loves you exactly where you are. At the age you are right now, Jesus loves you. Jesus was 12 years old once, and he was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. He went through this stage of life where you are. And that's comforting for us, because at this point in life, I remember when I was going through it, there was times where I felt like I was all alone, like I was on an island, and nobody understood me because I didn't understand myself. And there was lots of changes happening to me, and I wondered, what's going on? Who am I? All of these questions come. Jesus knows who you are. Jesus is with you right now. And so Jesus, to get back to our story here, Jesus was in the temple. It says, and when the feast had ended, as they were returning, the boy, Jesus, says the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, and they began to search for him among their friends and their relatives, and they couldn't find him. So they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. So Jesus had stayed behind in Jerusalem, which is kind of a 12-year-old boy thing to do, isn't it? To get lost and to get sidetracked with your own curiosity and cause a bunch of chaos in the meantime. That's what Jesus did. Jesus did this. And when we read this, a lot of times we want to criticize somebody. We want to criticize Mary and Joseph, first of all, for their parenting, maybe. We say, well, that's pretty irresponsible. I mean, they left their 12-year-old boy and they went a whole day without him. They didn't know where he was. Like, that seems pretty irresponsible, parents. Or then we start to question Jesus and we say, well, hey, wait a minute. Isn't he sinless? Isn't that wrong? Like, didn't he disobey his parents and he stayed behind? And we try to look for some fault with somebody in this whole happening. But we miss the point of the story when we do that, because the point of this whole thing is not to find out who is at fault with this. The point of this story is that life happened. Life happened even to Jesus. That Jesus didn't have a supernatural bubble around him where he was immune from this stuff happening. He could get left behind in Jerusalem and get lost, and his parents couldn't find him. That could happen to Jesus, because Jesus is a human being. He's just like you and I. This stuff happened to him. He is God with us. His name is Emmanuel. So God is with us. God has this, all the same stuff that happens to us, that can happen to Jesus. And so we're told that they went for 3 days, and they found him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the elders, listening to them, asking questions. So first of all, we can imagine Joseph and Mary's distress for 3 days. of not being able to find him. You know, one day I'm sure was bad enough when they said, wait, we haven't seen Jesus since, like, you know, yesterday at this time. But 3 days of actively searching for him, you know, that's going to be pretty distressing for them. And apparently, the temple wasn't the first place you go and look for a 12-year-old when you get lost. They were probably looking down by the water, I'm sure. I'm thinking if 12-year-old boy, probably down by the river, skipping rocks or something. They looked everywhere else but the temple. Because if they had looked in the temple first, they would have found him. Because that's where he was. Jesus was sitting in the temple. He was learning. This shows us how important learning is. In the Proverbs, it tells us that a fool despises learning. Jesus was learning. If there was ever a human being that we might think didn't need to learn, wouldn't you think it would be Jesus? But Jesus needed to learn. And so do we. We need to learn. But pay attention to how Jesus was learning. It tells us exactly what he was doing. It says he was listening and he was asking questions. That's how learning happens. You listen and ask questions. That's what Jesus was doing. And so that's an example for us to follow. If you want to learn something, maybe close your mouth for a while. Listen. I've heard Pastor Jesse say many times that we have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason, right? You know, this is because we need to listen. That's how we learn. And also ask questions. If you don't know something, which you don't, there's things you don't know. All of us do. It's okay to ask questions. Questions aren't bad. You ask questions. That's actually how you will learn, to question things. So Jesus was listening, and he was asking questions. And we're told that they were all those who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. The fascinating thing about this whole story is that we get to see both of the natures of Jesus, the divine nature or the God nature and the human nature. Jesus is fully human. There's nothing more human than a 12-year-old getting sidetracked and causing a bunch of chaos. You know, I know that very well. Especially a 12-year-old boy, because we have several boys. And I understand what that's like. Jesus is fully human. But yet he's fully divine. He's fully God. He's there and he's amazing, the teachers. These are the upper echelon. These are like the top of the religion. These are the people who are in the temple. They're not in some synagogue far in the far reaches of Judea on the, you know, in some synagogue somewhere. These are the ones who are in the temple, the teachers, the leaders of the people. And Jesus is right amongst the high up people. And he's asking them questions. He's learning from them. He's answering questions. And they're blown away with his knowledge. Jesus is fully God. Jesus knows everything there is to know about God, obviously, because he is God. And so he amazes them. And another fascinating thing about this whole thing is that Jesus is in the temple. Whenever Jesus is in the temple, whenever you hear about that in the Gospels, how Jesus went into the temple, think of how amazing that is, that Jesus is in the temple. What is the temple? The temple is a place that was built, is a building that was built to be God's house. That's literally what it was. David was the first one who started talking about building a temple. And he said, I want to build a house for God. And he built this house. He wanted to build this house. He couldn't do it. His son had to be the one to do it. And so Solomon, his son, built the first temple. And when Solomon got done building it, at the dedication of the temple, he had this huge ceremony. He had all kinds of sacrifices, and it was like this big to-do because they were dedicating the temple to God. And they had the dedication of the temple, and then Solomon had a prayer. And in Solomon's prayer, when he dedicated the temple, this is what he said. He said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I've built?" He's like, "I know we did this great job building this big temple." He says, "For God to live in." He says, "But this temple, God can't live here. This is on the earth. Will God even come down here and live in this temple? This can't happen." He understood that God is far too great to live in a temple that was made with human hands. But think about this. Here we have a little boy, a 12-year-old boy, who's inside of this temple, and God is dwelling in this little boy. In Colossians, it tells us that the fullness of the deity dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. The fullness of God was in that little boy. That was God himself in the temple. So this little boy is the temple. He is the house of God. He houses God. God dwells in this boy. So this is the temple, is inside of the temple. Amazing. And think of that. Every time you hear Jesus going in the temple, when he overturns the money changers or the different accounts of Jesus in the temple, you understand Jesus is the temple. He's the dwelling place of God. And so this is amazing. And especially the fact that he's 12. He's a 12-year-old boy. That's just great. And so his parents saw him when they go and they find him in the temple and he's amongst the teachers, and they were astonished. You know, it's like Jesus is in the temple with all like the important people. This is our little boy. And his mother, she says to him, "Why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." So this is really kind of cute. Jesus got in trouble. His mom yelled at him. She was like, "What are you doing?" She scolded him. "We've been looking for you for 3 days. See, Mary and Joseph, they don't understand what's going on. They don't know that this is the dwelling place of God. God is in this boy. This is God himself. All they know is they're worried. They're worried and they're scared because they had lost their little boy. And 3 days they spent looking for him. This is exactly how we are. We can get lost in our circumstances. The circumstances in our life, whatever's happening at the moment, we just get consumed with it, and we don't see the big picture, and we can even question God. Because that's really what she was doing here. She was questioning God. She was like, "What are you doing?" You know, that's what we do when life happens to us. We question God. Thankfully, God is gracious. God doesn't turn us away. Jesus doesn't call down some fire or lightning bolt or something for them. No, he's very patient with them. And he actually wants to teach his mother something. So he says to Mary, he says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" This is interesting because this is the first words of Jesus recorded in the Bible. He's 12 years old, and these are the first words that we learn that he ever spoke. He obviously spoke other things before this, but this was the first thing recorded. And so Mary, think about what Mary had just told Jesus. She said, "Your father and I have been looking for you with great distress." So basically what she's saying is that, in other words, you need to come home. We got to get home. You need to go to your father's house where Joseph lives. That's where you live. You have stuff to do there. You have chores to get to, all this stuff. When she tells them that we've been looking for you, that's really what she's saying. We need to get back home to your father's house. But what Jesus says, he turns and he says to her, "Then why did you come looking for me? If I need to be in my father's house," he says, "that's where I've been. I've been in my father's house doing my father's stuff." He says, I must be about my father's stuff. "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Jesus, of course, is talking about God. He's saying God is his father. But we're told that they didn't understand that. They did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. So this kind of goes right over their head. They're just kind of stuck on this in their circumstance, and they don't understand it fully yet. But it's amazing because the angel had told them about this. The angel had came to Joseph and Mary separately and told them that this son that you're going to have, he will be the son of the Most High. This will be God's son that you have. And his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. But this obviously doesn't register with them. They don't understand this. But what do? Mary treasures up all this stuff in her heart, which there's an important lesson in there for us too. But first he went down and he came with them to Nazareth and he was submissive to them. So Jesus, he listened to his mom. He obeyed. It's just amazing. Jesus gets scolded. He gets yelled at by his mom and he listens to her and he obeys her. He goes back home and he does what he's supposed to. So kids, when mom yells at you and scolds you, yes, you have to listen. You do, because Jesus did. Jesus listened to his mom. He went home. He lived with them, even though he definitely could have stayed there and done all the things that he was supposed to do in the temple. But he went home and he submitted. He came underneath his parents' rule, and he listened to them. But Mary treasured up this in her heart. Like I said, this is a great example for us to follow. Because there's a lot of stuff we don't understand. Just like Mary didn't understand what all this was about. But she treasured it in her heart. We come to church. There's a lot of stuff we don't understand about church. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand about church. And I'm a pastor. The sacraments, the word, there's so much mystery. We don't know what all this stuff is about. We can't possibly plumb the depths of what it is. But we treasure it up in our heart. Just like Mary did. Because we know one thing for sure. God is there. Mary knew that this was God's son. She didn't know how all this stuff worked. But she treasured it in her heart. And so do we. We come to church. We treasure this up. We know this is God. This is how God gets to us. And this is a very special thing. And so, we're told that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus continued to grow. Back to our theme, growth. Jesus grew. And so if Jesus grew, we should expect that we grow too. We grow not in ourselves, but we grow in Jesus. We grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. This growth is a very natural thing. This is something we can count on happening. So life continued for Jesus. He continued to grow. They went back home to Nazareth, and he learned and he taught and he did all this growth in the synagogue too, in Nazareth. He continued to get older. He continued to get taller. He grew. A very natural thing. Jesus grew. And it says he grew in favor with God and man. Again, I don't understand everything about this. I don't understand how God, the fullness of God in Jesus Christ, how he grew in favor with God. That doesn't make sense to me. So don't ask me how. Because the answer is I don't know. I don't know how. I'm content to leave that up to the mystery of the Trinity. And like Mary did, treasure it up in my heart and know that this is pretty special. This is a special thing. But just treasure it up. Jesus grew. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. So, we've come to the end of the text now. And I just, you know, in parting here, I'm going to miss each one of you. I've really enjoyed spending time with you. But I know one thing, you're in good hands. You are in good hands. Not only because you have a good pastor, and he loves you. I know one thing, he really loves you, and he pours himself into you, like I already said. But more importantly, because you are placed firmly in the hand of Jesus Christ. And it's there where you grow. Your growth comes from Jesus Christ. He'll continue to give you growth. I know that. He'll give you growth, and he'll continue to give you life. Because he is the source of all of that. He is the vine. We are the branches. You know, our growth comes from him. We are planted into him. And he continues to provide us with life and nutrients and everything we need. And I know he's going to continue to do that. It doesn't matter who's here. He continues to do that. And another thing I thought is, as I'm leaving here, you know, we could look at it like, oh, now there's a moment where I'm leaving and this is a big old sad thing. And in a way it is. But it also creates an opportunity for growth here. Because who's going to fill the place where the roles that I've had here? Somebody else will fill these. And this is growth. This is how growth happens. And so as painful as it can be, it's also life. It's new life coming in. And so we never would want to stop that from happening. We would never want to stifle growth. And so I understand that this is how God does things. He moves people around to cause growth to happen within his church. And that's what he's doing. And so we're going to Nagani, and we're going to grow there, Lord willing. We know that he's the source of it all. And you will continue to grow here. And you will grow. You'll continue until Jesus comes. That's how it's going to be. This is going to continue right until Jesus comes. Because he promised he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He will be with us until the end. And that's his promise. So that's what we have. And the good news is that even if we spend some time separated here in this life, we know that we're going to be together forever, eventually. In eternity, in heaven, we're going to all be together. So it's just for a while. It's just for a while. God bless each one of you. And like I said, I will miss you. But I'll continue to pray that God will give you that growth he's promised to give you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises in your word. Lord, and thank you for this congregation, for the growth that you continue to give to this congregation and to each one of us individually. We pray that you would continue to give us the same, because we know you are faithful to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.